Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. We're going to read verses 16 through 21. Luke 12, 16 through 21. Very familiar parable of the Lord. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my goods, bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's pray. Lord, you know every heart here. You know all of our needs. We're filled with your Spirit. And we ask, Lord, that your Spirit will take your word and apply it to each one of us. I very pray, Lord, if there's someone here who's lost, ready to die, I pray they might come to know Christ. But I pray for every child of God that's here that we'd wake up and look at our lives and, Lord, think differently. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting parable about a man doing his own thinking. You ever think about your future? Everybody does. We make a lot of decisions, don't we? One of the biggest, most important decisions you'll ever make is how much education you get. I grew up, I didn't have any interest in going to college, but my dad wanted me to go. You see, he didn't finish what's called a high school education. Didn't have a high school diploma. He finished as high as they went where he lived, which was about the 10th or 11th grade, but they didn't go any further. And he felt like it held him back all of his life. And so one of the things he wanted for me, he wanted to get me all the education he could get me to have. Your education is important. Now, just because you have an education doesn't mean you're smarter than anybody else. All it means is doors are opened. That's all it does. I mean, there are some absolute idiots teaching college. That's for truth. And you got to pass them as well as the rest of them. Now, you might have some, there were some wonderful professors too. I had some guys that I really did love and thought they were worth going after. But education is not about your learning. It's about the doors that it opens to you. They know you can study. They know you will stick by something. And they figure that you can handle a job. Now, sometimes that's not true. But education is important. Don't knock it. Don't think, no, education is important and I'm smarter because I just finished the 7th grade. Well, some people think that way, but it's not true. So your decisions about education are going to affect your life. They're going to affect how much money you make. They're going to affect whether you can get a certain job or not. They're going to affect what kind of house you can buy and maybe what kind of car you can drive. Get an education. Education is important. Make good decisions about education. There's another thing that's an important decision. This man was thinking about his decisions. He's a very rich man. And by the way, they didn't have retirement systems in this day. They didn't have work 20 years for the police department and we'll give you money to stay away from us. They didn't have if you worked till you're 55 in the school system, and then we'll fire you and hire two people for what we're paying you. That wasn't around in those days. If a man didn't possess it, why, you know, it wasn't there. But here's a man that possessed it. And he thought within himself, he said, the ground is brought forth so plentifully, what should I do? I don't have room to take care of all my fruits. If this will I do, I'll pull down my barns, and I'm going to build greater. You make a lot of decisions, and the decision of what job you're going to do. When I was out of a job, I've turned down some jobs. simply because they would have entailed me selling alcohol and Playboys. I said, I'm not going to sell alcohol, not even when I'm hungry, and I'm not going to sell Playboys. And so I didn't take the job. Other jobs I've taken, but you know, some people really hate their job. Now maybe some of you sitting out here, you may really hate the job you do. I feel sorry for you. I learned to love teaching school. And bless your heart, I love preaching. I've been a pastor all these years. I love it. I'm glad God called me to do it. And I hope to do it until I get up here and blubber and stammer and fall. And they have to say, please sit down, Brother Lindell. Having a good job, that's an important decision. You need to make some decisions. And so sometimes you don't have a whole lot of choice. I mean, we take what's given to us. We take what comes along. We take what's open. And in this time right now, you may not be able to have your favorite job, but those are decisions that you can make, and the decision you make concerning it is going to affect your life. It's going to affect your happiness. It's going to affect the money you have. I'll tell you something even more important. Billy was preaching on it this morning, talking about marriage. The choice you make in a marriage is almost the biggest decision you'll ever make. You talk about somebody affect you, your partner in marriage affects you. They can make your life miserable or they can make it very happy. They can help you go along. In fact, you know, Paul said he was better off being single, serving the Lord. I'd have never served the Lord near as well if I didn't have Verlene. She'd been a blessing to me and a help to me so many ways. Marriage? My daddy was always warning me. He says, son, take a look at her mother. Take a look at her mother. Son, pay a whole lot of attention to her mother because that's what she's going to be like. So look at your mother. Man, you ought to think about that. Some people just get married and they don't have any clue. They just have a little bit of lust. They don't have anything in common but lust. And bless your hearts, sooner or later somebody has to wash dishes. You can't live on love. Sooner or later, somebody's got to go to work and pay the bills. Marriage is so important that it can affect almost every area of your life. Who you marry and what kind of marriage you can make with them. Important decision. It's your decision, by the way. You can say yes or you can say no. We don't have any of these fixed marriages in our generation. You choose. And hopefully choose well. But the most important decision you'll ever make, and you can make it, is what you do with Christ. What you do with Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the Son of God who went to the cross of Calvary and died for your sins. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. He's the only way. Now, when you think about that, you make your choice, and lots of times the Holy Spirit comes and talks to you, speaks in your heart, says, this is what I ought to do, and you say, no, I don't want to do that. That'd be embarrassing. Or, no, I don't want to do that. That'd change my life. Or, no, I don't want to do that. It might hurt me so much. No, I don't want to do that because it'll make me separate from my family, or it might cost me my job. The most important thing I ever did was accept Christ as my Savior. He changed me that day, and He's still changing me, and I'm looking for a better change even in the future. I'm looking for something even better. There are a lot of important decisions that you can make, and I tell you what, there's one you don't have hardly anything to do with when you die. I mean, just here a while back, 44-year-old man, didn't have a bit of fat on his body, ran 5 miles a day. He died, 44. I just heard on the news a coach's wife, just before a ball game, she died at 46. My grandfather died at 36. I never knew either grandfather. One of them died at 36, other one died at 57. All I ever knew were grandmothers. I didn't know what a grandfather was. You don't have any control over when you die. I've been hearing about a man, he decided he's going to kill himself. He was a young man, so he takes him a shotgun, aims it right at his belly, and he pulls the trigger and blows out his spine and his stomach. but he's still got a real good heart. It's pumping great. His brain is still there. He's still thinking. But he's sitting in a chair. I mean, he's laying in a bed. He can't raise himself up because he's blown his spine out. I'd be afraid of suicide. I'm afraid I'd miss. Like he did. He used to have a young man come to this church, and he got all depressed, and he got all down, and he took a gun out, stuck it right here, and pulled the trigger. The bullet went right through his brain, right out the top of his head. They put a steel plate in there, and he looked as normal as anybody. You don't have much to do with when you die. I'm a big old fat man. I'm an old fat man. I'm a diabetic. You shut up over there. I'm an old diabetic. My death has been predicted so many times. I keep waking up. It amazes me. God's given me another day. I'm going to be 75 the 19th of November. I never thought I'd live past 60. But here I am. Now what am I going to do with it? I'm going to enjoy it. It's a gift of God. Every day of life you have is a gift of God. Take it as that way. Do what you can with it. I want you to look at the man in the parable we just read about. He was a rich man. Now, actually, in point of fact, everybody in this room, as far as all the people that ever lived in the world, is rich. If you drive a junky old clunker, and you have your own house to stay in, and you have a job that pays for your food, you're richer than 99% of the people that ever lived. That's true. And in fact, some of us are so rich, you just cannot believe it unless you've lived somewhere else. And not just lived there on a base somewhere or in some nice hotel, but out there in their homes, their dirt floors and their... Some of those dirt floors are swept a lot cleaner than a lot of houses I've seen. Man, they swept them clean. They took care of them. They planted cactus outside the window. That was their plant. That was their flower. He was rich. In fact, his ground brought forth plentifully so much he didn't know how to store it. He's got barns. Barns, plural. And he said, my barns are full. Now, that's pretty good shape. Now, my barn's full, but it's all with kids' stuff. His crops came in so big, he didn't know how to store it. Well, he made a decision. Now, he didn't make a decision to build additional barns. I'm wondering about that decision as I think about it. I'm going to tear down the barns I've got now, and I'm going to build bigger. What's he doing? He's preparing for the future. Now, that's a smart thing, right? It is a smart thing to prepare for your future, whether it's job, education, marriage, Christ, business, money, today, retirement, 401ks, all sorts of insurances. Things the rest of the world never knew anything about, and this man didn't know anything about it either. He was an optimist. He figured the future was going to be better. I think it's pretty good to be an optimist. An optimist and a pessimist may end up at the same place, but the optimist had a whole lot more fun on the trip. He's going to build new barns, plural. He prepared for his material future. He was on the verge of retirement. In a generation that didn't know hardly anything about retirement, you worked until you died. You worked until you couldn't work. Everybody had to do something around the house, whatever. There were chores to do. There was work to do, or else you didn't eat. Well, here's a man, he's so wealthy, he's thinking about retirement. And he's looking forward to it. This guy has a good attitude. He thought he had enough money to last him the rest of his life. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how much money that'd have to be. Are all of you in here so secure right now you got enough money to last you the rest of your life? You don't have to work? Now, Brother Trinidad, he's only got four retirements. I'm looking for him to look for a fifth. When he got that first retirement, that wasn't enough for him. And he went and got another retirement. That wasn't enough for him. I said, what are you still working for? Oh, I got this other job over here. And when I work there 2 or 3 years, they're going to give me a retirement. Well, that's what this fellow was doing. He was on the verge of retirement. He thought he had enough money. And I'll tell you something else about this guy that looks pretty good. He liked living. He liked living. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build greater barns. I'm going to store my goods. And I'm going to live and eat, drink, and be merry. Well, who wouldn't want that? Do you want to eat, drink, and be sad? No, you want to eat, drink, and be merry. What you want to do is to have a good time. And that's exactly what he was thinking about. Now, let me ask you something. Would you call this guy a success? I'd call him a success. I believe everybody that lived in the town where he lived was bragging on him, saying, my, what a success he is. This guy knows how to live. This guy knows how to make the right decisions. But he left one thing out of his plans, not mentioned. God. God is left out. Don't leave God out of your education. Don't believe everything they teach you, everything is written in a book. A lot of books are full of lies. A lot of books are just propaganda. Don't believe everything that somebody teaches you. Now, I'm not saying don't give it back to them on the test. I mean, you just reserve thoughts in your head. Okay, this is the answer you're looking for. That's all right, but I know different. Don't leave God out. Don't leave God out of your job. Don't leave God out of your marriage, and don't leave God out of your religion. Put Christ first. Put God in there. Now, if he'd have thought about God, he wouldn't have been a fool. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Now, the atheist says it with his mouth. Atheist says out loud. The fool just says it in his heart. But to say it either way, to look around this world and think there is no God, how foolish could you be? God's testimony is everywhere in nature. It is everywhere out there in the universe. It's in every little animal that you see. It's in you every day. You ought to be able to see God. What were his mistakes? Well, first of all, he thought he was going to live a long time. You know what? He didn't need new barns. I mean, he wouldn't even get a chance to build them. All he was going to get a chance to do was plant them. It said, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee this night. I mean, he's planning and he's got it all down. I mean, he might have been drawing out plans. Okay, we're going to remove this and we're going to have this here and I'll show this to the worker. And that night's the night the Lord's going to call him home or bring him before the judgment. You don't have any control of when you die. You may think you do. But I know a lot of people who thought they did and they didn't make it. I don't know how some people get as old as they are. Now, George Burns lived to be 103 years old, drinking a quart of whiskey and probably 25 big cigars a day. You can't predict it. I've had people go to the doctor and they say, you don't have but 6 months to live. And that's 10, 12 years ago. They're smart. They're smarter than we are. They make better choices than we do. Just like a mechanic can probably make a better choice about your engine than you will make. But that doesn't make them always right. Sometimes they really make big, bad mistakes. Now, this man made mistakes. He was making mistakes, and his big mistake was, first of all, he took God out of his thinking. He didn't bring God into what he was thinking. He made some mistakes. He mistook himself for God. You're not that important. He thought what was important was what he wanted. And so he put himself in the place of God. You're not in the place of God. You don't have control over your destiny. And by the way, you're not smart enough to make all the right decisions anyway. Don't get in the mistake thinking your will is so important. No, God's will is what's important. He mistook his belly for his soul. He wasn't making any preparations for his soul. He wasn't thinking about his religion. He wasn't thinking about his God. He wasn't thinking about what was right or wrong. He wasn't thinking about what was moral. He wasn't even thinking about what was good. All he was looking for, my soul, my happiness, my will, my belly. And then he mistook time for eternity. He was prepared for time. Many of you are prepared for time. But are you prepared for eternity? Maybe you've got a retirement. Maybe you've got a 401k. Maybe you've got a paid out house and a paid out car and a paid out business. Maybe you've got all sorts of things going your way. But are you rich toward God? His mistake, he was rich in the world. He was rich in money. He was rich in things. He was rich in land. He was a good planner for material things. But he left one thing out, God. You can't leave God out. God is in every day of your life or you wouldn't make it to the end of it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What part will God have in your life? But God. I love those two little words. They struck me when I first read this years and years and years ago. But God. And I've seen it all the way through the Bible. But God. But God. Well, the Israelites, they were a slave nation in Egypt. But God. God delivered them by a mighty hand. Great miracles. He made a great nation out of them. He let them cross the Red Sea on dry land. He led against the greatest army in the world of that day, the greatest civilization in the world of that day. This bunch of slaves went out with a mighty hand from God Almighty. But God. That was the difference. The difference was God was the difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians, but God. Jonah was a backslidden preacher. What can you do with a backslidden preacher? What will you do with a preacher that says, I'm not going where you want me to go? I am not going to preach to that bunch of fish worshipers. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm headed somewhere else. But God had other plans. God made the waves come up and the seamen get scared. Now, you know, it's something for you and I landlubbers to get scared out there. But when the professional seamen are scared and throwing things out, you better start worrying. Jonah was a backslidden preacher. Who can do anything with a backslidden preacher? But God changed Jonah around and gave a record of the greatest revival I've ever read about. This backslidden preacher in just a few days walked across this place. And the whole place, including the king, repented. And they were saved for 160 some odd years. The city from destruction. I was a sinner on the road to hell. I was a young man full of a lot of spirit and life and wanted to live. But God saved my soul and changed my life. You know what the difference was? God. I got to change. Some people think, well, boy, you really changed your life. I got to change. It was a change that took place in me. God did something to me. All of a sudden, I saw myself a sinner. I saw myself headed for hell. And I'll tell you, I made a very selfish move. I went to God. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. I didn't go to God because I wanted to glorify God. I went to God because I was an unforgiven sinner on the road to hell, and I had just had a 21-year-old die by me. Took my truck. I was a gasoline man in the Air Force. I filled airplanes. Took care of all kinds of fuels. He took a little regular gasoline truck. They called me and said, Kincaid, take the 74 truck and go to Ground Power. I said, I got an appointment. It's time to get off. I've had about 29 runs throughout the day, and the dispatcher looked, yeah, you have. He said, Bobby, take the 74 truck and go fill up the Ground Power. Bobby took the truck, went down there. We ride off. We wave at Bobby, went right beside him. Bobby Harris from Tennessee, 21 years old. We wave at him. He's sitting down there underneath. The truck is pumping, about a 10-foot high tank. And we rode on off the base. Well, that tank wasn't empty. He thought it needed 1,000 gallons, 500 filled it up. So you got this engine pumping and all that gas is coming out. And it fell all over him. He did what he was supposed to do. He hit the panic button on the truck to stop it. And when he did, threw him 30 feet in the air. Blew his ears off, blew his eyelids off. He died 11 days later right here at Brooks. We were in Roswell, New Mexico. You know what I learned? 21-year-olds can die. It was a great lesson for me. I hope Bobby was saved. I have no clue. He was from Tennessee. There's a lot of gospel in Tennessee. Hopefully he knew the Lord. I don't know, but I know that I was lost. I knew what I ought to be. I knew what I ought to do. But God woke me up. He said, hey, 21-year-olds can die. That was your truck, your run. They called you for it. And I'd have done the same thing he did. We were used to gasoline. I put a cigarette out in gasoline. But God moved in my life. But God changed my life. I'm not on the road to hell anymore, I want you to know. Thank you, Lord. I'm on the road to heaven. You know, in Proverbs 27:1, it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now here's a rich man and he's planning, and just like you are rich and you're planning. You're using your head about your future and your kids' future and your plans, your home, your marriage, your education, all these things. And we would think you're very foolish if you didn't do some planning on all these things. But this says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't have a clue. You don't have a clue what's going to happen tonight. You don't have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. And you sure don't know what's going to happen next year. And a lot of people are out pushing out how smart they are and telling you what's going to happen here and there. They don't know. They don't know. If you leave God out of your plans, you're going to find God's in your plans, whether you like it or not. You may decide to shove him away. You may decide, I don't need God, but God's going to be there anyway. I hope you make good plans, but I want you to know you have no guarantee of tomorrow. You know what you got a guarantee of? Today. Today. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You don't have any tomorrow. You know tomorrow never comes. It's always today. If we get to tomorrow, it won't be tomorrow. It'll be today. You live in the present. That's where God has given you to live. Live in the present. You make your decisions in the present. Your future is determined by your present. 1 John 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what it says? Don't love the world. You say, well, how can I do that? Well, it's a matter of comparison. I know you love your dog, you love your cat. You love your family. You might love your job. You might love your hobbies. You might love your children or your grandchildren. You might love a lot of different things. And you say, well, I'm loving the world. What he's saying is, don't put it before God. Put your love of God ahead of everything else. No matter whether it's the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. Because every bit of it, according to this verse right here, is going to pass away. Everything you're lusting after is going to disappear. Everything you own is just going to go up in a extreme heat and be a puff, gone away. The world passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Look at John chapter 3. I'll begin reading at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't know your hearts today. You may have walked in here just really spiritual, really right with God. You may have walked in here just having a fight or fuss or just listening to the radio. I have no clue. The Holy Spirit does. He knows exactly where you are, and he moves in and out where his word is preached. I believe every time if I'm on a street corner and nobody seems to be listening, I believe the Holy Spirit is blessing his word. When I come into church or I come into even a hostile audience, if I preach this word and I do it faithfully, I do it fully, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to bless it. He's going to touch it. He's going to move on somebody. I believe when I preach, God is touching some of you to do something. I don't know maybe what that is. Only you may know what that is. If you're here today and you're not saved, you better run to God just as fast as you can. Don't put him off. God says, you know, that boy's telling you something. That's right, boy, 75-year-old boy. That guy's telling you something right. You better repent of your sins and call on Jesus. What a beautiful answer there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever, I love that whosoever. 54 years ago, I wrote Lindell in there. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Lindell believeth, he'll not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, you can write your name there. What an invitation. You can write your name. And then you can walk along somewhat like some of the people inside this room right here and can say, I was on the road to hell, but God. I was living in my sin. I had no intelligence. I was absolutely stupid, but God. I was living a life of destruction, but God. Just as he saved the Israelites from the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Just as he gave a revival by a backslidden preacher, the greatest revival we have recorded, a huge city converted and lasting for 160 some odd years past that time before it was ever destroyed. And just as me and plenty others inside this room had a day when we came up to a point where we said, I don't want to go to hell. I do not want to suffer for my sins. I do not want to walk my life without God. God, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Save my soul. Change my life. Make me different. And you can say, but God. But God. Two important words. But God. If you're a Christian here and God's spoken to you about anything, do what he tells you to do. You don't have a tomorrow to make everything right. You have today. In fact, you don't have all of today. You have now. I'm always preaching in the now. You're always getting the message in the now. And if you're ever going to make a decision about anything, it's going to be in the now. When God moves upon your heart, you react, you respond, you do in the now what God wants you to do. And the tomorrows will take care of themselves. If you're here and you're lost, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, why don't you come on down here and call on Him and ask Him to have mercy upon you and see if He doesn't do it. If He doesn't, well, bless your heart, you tried. You're not any worse off than you were when you walked through the door. But what if He does? What if He does? What if God saves your soul today? Then you'd be like the rest of us. Up until September of 2011, I was walking my way, but I walked into a church building and I heard a message and got an invitation. But God saved my soul. But God changed my life. But God changed my eternity. Let's stand and sing number 249. This altar is open. My Christian friend, if God has spoken to your heart, you move. My dear lost friend, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, come and be saved. Come and call upon the Lord. Come and ask for mercy. If God has spoken to your heart, you do what He asks you to do. Let's sing. This altar's open. Has God spoken to your heart? Let Him have His way.